We resume at verse 5. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll start off with the children's sermon because they're just fun and that's what you listen to anyway. How many of you remember assembling Easter baskets? You remember that? Just last night, huh? There's two things about Easter baskets that are really theologically fun and deep. One is that really crazy, when I was young, they only had the cellophane grass in green. Now it comes in colors. You remember that stuff? And you can find it everywhere wrapped around the vacuum thing and caught everywhere. Well, Easter should be like that. Shouldn't it be threaded everywhere and impossible to get rid of? Easter should be everywhere. In our baskets, you know, we went and we got the hard-boiled dyed eggs. We found them wherever, usually we found all of them, wherever they'd been hidden around the house. And then we got to dig into the chocolate, whatever Mom had bought, because it was clearly not Dad doing the buying. And there was always this little moment of anticipation when you got to the chocolate bunny. Was it going to be a good year or a bad year? The good years, it was solid, because empty is just a little bit disappointing, except for on Easter. Empty is exactly what we're looking for on Easter. So when you put together your baskets and rummage through your memories, think about how Easter sticks in different ways throughout the year. Which brings us, of course, to the Easter story, which is, it's in Matthew, and Matthew is not quite the same way we tell the story most years. Normally we have the women, and they go to the garden, and there's a gardener and angels. Well, there's no earthquake in those stories. Well, there's an earthquake in this story. The women, the Marys, are walking to the tomb, and they get there, and there's still the guards posted. And then suddenly everything happens. In the other Gospels, it's kind of happened before we get there. God has already done the Easter thing, and we get there, and suddenly, oh, right, that was today. In Matthew, the women get to the tomb, and then, well, the skies open up, and there's an angel like a bolt of lightning, and there's an earthquake, and the stone rolls away, and suddenly we're on center stage with sound and fury and bright light. And the stone rolls away, and an angel says, "You're in the wrong place. I know what you're here for. He's not here. He is risen." And then the women go back. And along the way, Jesus shows up in irrefutable kind of fashion. Now, we cut off the passage today before quite the end of the chapter. And what happens next is the conspiracy theory, because the guards who were struck deaf and dumb and knocked to the floor and fainted go back to town. And they go back to town probably with more than a bit of the fear that the women had. And they go back to tell Pilate, essentially, it happened. It happened the way he said it was going to happen. So what do we do now? I mean, this has got to be a low-level bureaucrat's worst nightmare. God comes down to earth and is raised from the dead, and he had to do it in my town on my watch. Now, the chief priests and scribes say, well, just start a rumor. Just start a rumor that they came in and took the body. Now, I have to think that if I'm one of these soldiers, something about this has to stink, right? Because either I come off as the incompetent guy who fell asleep while they moved this huge rock that it took an earthquake to move and manhandled the body out. So I'm looking real good, right? I slept right through that. Let it happen. Or I'm a traitor and an accomplice. Or people are gonna know. Like, this isn't even a great story to come up with. People are going to figure this one out. We don't get any of that narrative. Matthew doesn't put that conversation, those thought bubbles, into the Gospel of Matthew. He does say that this is the story still told by the Jews to that day about what happened on Easter. Ultimately, out of that Easter encounter, you have two different sets of responses. You have the people who leave with fear and great joy to tell that Jesus is risen. And when I say people, we know I mean the women, because the guys, just, they're no-shows. They'll get along later by the end of the chapter. But you also have the soldiers who have seen something they cannot really explain, that they have been told cannot happen, that they have been told should not happen, and frankly, that they were posted and assigned there so it could not happen. And they go back with the news of what has happened as well. And they get greeted very differently than the women get greeted. There's still a sense of disbelief because the men don't buy the women's story. They don't get the visit from Jesus that this has really happened. They get, no, this didn't happen. And that's what you're going to tell everybody, right, gentlemen, is that this did not happen. I think that holds probably until their second beer. Because at some point, they're going to go home and somebody's going to say, so how was guard duty at the tomb of the Savior of the world? And what do you say? What do you say? Well, I'll tell you what my boss said happened. He said I fell asleep and they snuck in and they moved this 35-ton rock without waking me up and hauled the body out. That's what my boss says happened. There was an earthquake, though, and I was awake for that. And there was something bright, and there was something terrifying, and the rock moved. And there was no body, and I don't remember anything after that. There are two sets of witnesses to the resurrection. There are the people who go into it hoping that it's true. The women. Mary and Mary and Mary and Mary. And there are the people who witness it hoping it's not true, who are invested in it not being real and it not happening. And it would be easy to say that that truth stops in 33 AD, but it doesn't. Every time we tell this story, there are people who want to hear it because they hope it's real. And there are people that this story terrifies, and they hope against hopes that it's not real, even if they were there and saw it and heard it and felt it. What I want you to hear in this Easter story is that it doesn't matter what you wanted going in, you end up going out and telling somebody what you saw. What you heard, what you felt, what you experienced. That is the power of Easter, is it doesn't require us to want it. Easter is going to come through regardless. It is like that nasty green cellophane grass. It's going to be somewhere in the house, wrapped around the rod in your vacuum cleaner, no matter how well you think you cleaned it up. Easter does not require us to be on board. It is the inbreaking of the kingdom. God doesn't wait for us to get with the program to do this, because frankly, if God did, he'd still be waiting. There are all sorts of witnesses to the power of God. On a certain level, the women are less persuasive than the soldiers, because the women want to believe it. The women were already on Jesus' side. So, of course, they're going to tell the story that Jesus told. They were already his people. What do you do with the two guys on guard duty? What do you do with this centurion who stands at the foot of the cross and says, truly, this man was God's son? What do you do with a child raised as a Pharisee who stands and watches Stephen get stoned and then becomes the most zealous persecutor of the early church, who suddenly gets struck blind and becomes Paul, not Saul? The power of Easter is that even if you don't want to believe it's going to happen, when it happens, you have to talk about it. And that is earth-shaking. On this day, may the stone be rolled away. May you talk about it, whether you hoped for it or whether you hoped against it. And may it be impossible for you not to talk about Easter. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore.